Welcome to the program we call the message of this program, Slovakia and the Political Influence of the Catholic Church. I was in Prešov in the year 2000 where I visited that city and I met with believers and I was seeing with my own eyes Roman Catholicism in that eastern part of Slovakia, and it was a shock to me. But even deeper of a shock rather than just seeing Roman Catholicism was the announcement that was made that year. And I had the response from the Slovakian believers to the concordat that was put into effect from that year 2000, in the year 2000. And it was a shock to me because I knew how concordats had really brought in the power of the Roman Catholic system in other nations. It was going back to the very beginning of the Vatican State, where there was a concordat with Mussolini, where the Vatican was set up as a civil power on what had been an Italian state, and it was carved out of Italy, and the independent nation of the Vatican is 108 acres, just a small little territory, became a independent civil power. The Vatican had again civil power, which it had before. It had fallen from civil power when the at the time of the revolution and the whole Napoleon Bonaparte and the Pope being taken from his throne and civil power being taken from the Pope. It was reinstigated with the concordat between the Vatican and Mussolini, and then we had the famous concordat with Hitler, I think it was 1933 exact, where Hitler entered in with Pius the 11th, and then it was nailed down under Pius the 12th. Pius the 11th had been in Germany as a representative, a legate from the Vatican, and then he was to become the next Pope, Pius the 12th, and he entered into concordat with Hitler, and that defended Hitler from any statements that the Catholic Church would make against his regime and all the horrors that went on in World War II. And there was a legal agreement that had devastating effect on believers, particularly the true believers, and of course the Roman Catholic Church was able to increase in leaps and bounds in the financial help that it got from government and the way the people paid money to the Catholic Church through the state and the civil upholding of Catholic education, Catholic marriages, and on and on. It has been the same right across the South American world where I lived as a Catholic priest. I was very conscious of the South American nations that had concordats. Where there was a concordat, usually we found that the Catholic education system predominated with the financial help of the system. It was the educational system that was recognized by the government. We saw the Catholic Church enforcing its marriage laws and what it calls annulments and everything on the people through civil law. And it was in those nations that the other churches were really being held back because they were not seen as part of the Catholic Church and those that the Catholic Church recognized in its ecumenical outreach. It has been devastating. I cannot give nation after nation. That would be too long. I have a whole program which I made called the Vatican Control Through Civil Power, where I go through nation after nation and what nations who have signed on the concordats with Rome. But actually, to know this and to be in Slovakia the very year that this concordat was brought into existence was a shock to me, and I knew that this was going to really limit the gospel going forth, or an attempt to limit the gospel going forth, and to put into effect Roman Catholic institutions whereby their schools will be funded and recognized by the state, that this will be civil power of the church, that the Roman Catholic Church is not simply a religious system, it's a civil system. And when they make a legal agreement, they call it the Holy See. They call themselves the Holy See and the nation that they're making it with. And it's written down in civil law. So these laws become part of the civil law of the state. So it's not simply that the bishop is objecting to an evangelical church, but it is the civil powers can object to an evangelical church. And we've had some nations where it's the police that come to close down a Christian radio station or some sort of an evangelical message going out, that it's the civil authorities. And I know myself from reading the scripture that these things were spoken of even before the Reformation. The Vaudois, for example, and the Waldenses that followed them were very conscious that the Catholic Church was a civil system in the olden days before it was reinstituted then with Mussolini in recent times in the 20th century. But they were very conscious that the woman rides the beast, as it says in Revelation chapter 17, verse 3, that the woman is the religious system, rides the beast. The civil system is what the Catholic Church tries to gain control through civil law. And it was through the 605 years of the Inquisition that the Catholic Church got the civil authorities to put people to death. Very few people are conscious of that. But those who lived in Europe at the time of the Inquisition were very conscious of what it means the woman rides the beast, because it was the civil powers that were putting people to death and having them tortured, even though the judges and a lot of the people who accused people were Catholic prelates, bishops, archbishops and priests. But it was the civil power, the Catholic Church working together with the civil power. And so people are not conscious of these things, but at the time of the Reformation, the believers were very conscious that the Catholic Church was not just a religious power that was seeking to control religion throughout the world, but it was using civil means. And this is an eye-opener. Many believers do not realize this. But I want to come to Slovakia and how these political maneuvers of the Catholic Church have been instigated. So can you, Jan Sekula, give us some information of how these political endeavors of the Catholic Church affect Slovakia as such?
Yes. So let me first start by a little bit of historical review of last 20 years of Slovakian history. Now, it was in 1989 when the fall of communism took place, in an event that became known as Velvet Revolution, because there was no violent force used in the deposition of the communist government. And finally, it was desire of Slovaks to be and Czechs to live freely from the communism and to have a democratic establishment and institutions. And that took place in 1989, and this really opened the door for sweeping changes through the society, and we finally were having a freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of meetings, and we really rejoice in those events. I remember it still in vivid memories, because I was back then I was starting to attend the grammar school, and I remember all of the events. Now, under the communism, the churches were fairly strictly controlled by the communist government that was trying to have the control and was having special laws in how the churches are to operate. And there were some registered churches, and there were some independent unregistered groups, even of Bible believers, that were existing in informal meetings among the houses and various places. Now, for some 10 years, since 1989, actually up until 2000, so we will have some 11 years, it really looked like we will be a society in which the state and the church will be separate, and we will have we might even eventually reach a separation, despite the fact that very soon after revolution, we had a new law established about the churches, and since then until today, which is quite surprising and revealing and shocking, we had the system that registered the churches before under the communism, and we had a new law that continued in the system until today. So we still have a system where churches are registering with state to apply for some advantages for recognition and to apply for the funds. So registered churches are able to accept some funds, finances from the state, and to fund their operations. Now, then there are many groups of Bible believers, independent churches like ours, mine, and Ivan's, and many other that have no kind of registration with the state, and they are working on their own and self-support their ministry. Now, it was later in 2000, after many years of many developments, that Roman Church was able to establish a primary position, so to say, in the society by getting to the point when they were able to sign a concordat. So since 2000, we are a society, a country that is now on the list of those that have the concordat in place, that is valid, and that now really brought a lot of changes. Important is to understand that according to the Slovak law system, international treaties have always precedence over domestic laws. So once the treaty between the Slovak Republic and Vatican State was signed in the form of concordat, essentially every possible clash between some laws will be interpreted so that the international treaty is given a precedence, is primary. So this would apply equally to the situation with the Roman Church. We are seeing many results of the concordat now in place in many areas, mostly in education, but this will be discussed as we will proceed in our time.
Yes, it is. It is frightening to see the laws of Catholicism being instigated by the state. When we see some of the laws of the Catholic Church, and to know that the state is now upholding these laws. For example, the Roman Catholic Law 1372, that's the canon law of the Catholic Church, says a person who makes recourse against an act of the Roman Pontiff to an ecumenical council or college of bishops is to be punished with a censure, and that somebody is to be punished who makes recourse against the act, the decree or statement or an act of the Roman Pontiff, that they can be punished with a censure. And the canon 1374 says the person who joins an association who plots against the church is to be punished with a just penalty. A penalty can be justly brought against them, that they can be justly punished. And where Catholic law is accepted in civil law, we see how serious this is, because we're talking about now control over people who are evangelical by civil law. Now, it takes a long time before these things are actually implemented, but it is frightening to see these things been put into effect. Now I'd like to come to you, Ivan. Ivan is also from Slovakia. Havanda is his surname, and he is with us today. And Ivan, can you fill in a little bit more detail of how you see this political control of the Catholic Church been put into operation in Slovakia.
Yes. Thanks, Richard, and firstly, for quoting canon law, because in my experience, most of the nominal Catholics are not aware about those paragraphs that you quote. And to put them into the more light, let me quote from the Concordat itself. I'd like to quote to viewers Article 2 and Article 3, which would be self-revealing after quoting of the canon laws. Because in Article 2 it says, "The Republic of Slovakia recognizes the right of the Catholic Church of the Republic of Slovakia and of its members to free and independent activity, which includes above all the public professions, announcements, and practice of the Catholic faith, the freedom to exercise the mission of the Catholic Church, the exercise of its powers as defined by the canon law." This article alone makes me a possible possible candidate for punishment, because as we call the canon law says that I can be punished to proclaim the biblical truth against the wrong, and based on that breaking the canon law, Slovak Republic got the obligation, if it will be required from the Catholic Church, to punish me. And for any biblical Christian who is aware of the power of the Catholic Church during the history and in the recent years, this is the horrifying message. You mentioned Vaudos, and there are other groups, Albigenses, for example, which were killed in hundreds just for standing against the Rome in the biblical teaching. And of course, somebody would say, "I haven't, but the Catholic Church changed." And I would rather say to those persons, please go to the Mexico, for example, and ask the biblical Christians there how the Catholic Church is exercising its power there, for example. So it means, it doesn't mean that if they are not practicing the canon laws now in Slovakia, there is no possibility that they will do tomorrow until the law of the state will allow them. And let me remind the viewers, just not a few years ago, 60 years ago, there was a country called Croatia. And in this country, there was a bishop called Stepinac. And the country had signed the Concordat itself with the Vatican in those times. And in the Croatia in that time, there were living about 900,000 Orthodox Serbs. 200,000 of them were forced to be converted into the Roman Catholicism by the power. 700,000 of them refused, and they were killed. And this was done exactly on the same kind of the Concordat that we have actually in love in Slovakia. So for that reason, I'm horrified that nobody is protesting against that, and everybody is accepting this as a normal, peaceful treaty.
Yes, we have on our DVD on the Inquisition, we actually show some of the photographs from that horrific these horrific events that took place in Croatia, where the Concordat was put into effect, whereby the Catholic Church did not just use civil power because they had control of the civil power, but in actual fact, putting people to death was actually done often by the priests and prelates themselves. It was one of the more horrific demonstrations of civil power. And that happened in the 20th century. Details are given on the video called The Inquisition. And it is just amazing to see these things. I would like to come back to you, Jean, again, and if you could explain more just how these laws have been put into operation and what the Roman Catholic law is and how it may eventually be lived out and how it is at the present day being lived out in Slovakia.
Yes, that's a very important area to cover, but I would love to first add to my description of the present situation in Slovakia. Now, interestingly, as I had mentioned, there is no separation of church and state. There was none under the communism, there is none now even in the democratic establishment. Interestingly, we had many governments, elections are taking place every 4 years. We had right-wing governments, left-wing through all those times, but all the time Roman Church was always interested in cooperation and close relationship with the governments, regardless of the political persuasion and stream. And governments and ministers, prime ministers, presidents were always expressing the desire to have a close and good relationship with the Roman Catholic Church. That also paved the way and prepared the society to for the Concordat when it came in the year 2000. Now we have it. The Concordat is there since 2000, and on top of everything that is claimed in the Concordat, it prepared the way and it claims that on the basis of this Concordat, the future further treaties will be established in accordance with the Concordat. Now, an especially important one, treaty, was the one that came in the year 2004. It's the special treaty resulting from the Concordat that covers the education. It covers the education in Slovakia. Now, it's very detailed. It covers a lot of areas in education, and in its articles, we have, for example, the Article 13, which I would like to quote from that follow-on treaty from the year 2004. So, Article 13, paragraph 1. The Catholic Church has the right to establish, manage, and use for upbringing and educational purposes elementary schools, secondary schools, universities, and other educational institutions according to conditions set out in the legal system of the Republic of Slovakia. So that in practice it means that there, since then many primary, secondary schools and even university in Gutenberg were established and they are funded by the state's money, yet they are controlled fully by the Catholic Church, and everything in there is in accordance with the Catholic practice and teaching. Then we have another paragraph which is very important. Schools and educational institutions mentioned in paragraph 1 above have equal standing with state schools and educational institutions, which means that a school established by the Roman Church will have exactly the same position in society in relation to the state and to the rest of the society as the school established by the government itself. And we have the statement there, as I had already mentioned, the financial contribution for the said schools and educational institutions from the state budget of Republic of Slovakia will be established under a special agreement according to Article 20 of the present Concordat. So once again we can see that Concordat paved the way, prepared the legal system for other treaties like this one on the Catholic schools. Now, moreover, this means that not only we have many now schools established and educational institutions established by the Roman Church, but we also have in law what was established is that the Roman Church has a right to teach the religious lessons on every state school in the country. So they simply apply for the space they are. The lessons on the religion are part of the curricula that is required on the state schools, and we have the Roman priest or other people authorized by the bishops to teach the religious lessons, regularly coming week by week to the schools, and almost every kid will partake of the lesson and will be taught the Roman religion by the priest. So that's something that's really revealing and describing the situation that presently we mostly see the results of the Concordat in the fact that on all the levels of education system in Slovakia, Roman Church is able to indoctrinate, so to say, and able to get access to the minds of the people from the early childhood to have them immediately influenced and taught that the Roman Church is that true church, and here is the doctrine that we are teaching. And that really forms the mindset of the population from the early childhood.
Yes. Can you explain how all of this brings a slavery, as it were, into to the children in Slovakia? You know, when you see that they're under this system whereby the state regulates Roman Catholic teaching. Ivan?
This bothers me, Richard, on the personal level as well. I'm the father of the son that he will go to the primary school in September, and we will face those challenges associated with these practices. A few months ago, cousin, son of my brother, visiting us, and we were sharing with him some biblical truth, and when we finished with my fellow pastor, this 6-year-old boy was asking about the practice that is very common in Roman Catholicism, you know better, to put the sign of the cross in the front of him. This was natural and normal for him to ask for any biblical sharing afterwards because he sees this daily in the school. This is the practical consequences of the indoctrinating kids into the Roman Catholicism teaching. And I'm sure that it is not accident that first treaty under the Concordat is under the education umbrella. Adolf Hitler said that give me the control over the textbooks and you will give me the next generation. So I'm sure that there is a purpose to brainwash those kids to be as they will grow, to be more associated with the Roman Catholicism itself. And what is said about that? And it is written in the Bible that the whore of the Babylon is willingly provide cup of inquiry to drink with to anybody who is willing to drink. And of course there is a possibility on the treaty to allow the Protestant teachers come into the school and teach, but there are some rules which says that you need to have a percentage of the kids from with the Protestant belief in the schools, and then the Protestant teachers are allowed, which is causing in Slovak population that 95% of the schools are Catholic anyway. So this is what I'm afraid, that the brainwashing of the kids from the primary school up to the university that I'm challenging with the son of my brother, that I will be facing with my own son since September, is the purpose that is creating a flock of the people that will be slaves of the Roman Catholicism, even not recognizing that they are slaves.
Yes, it's really frightening when you see just what these children are taught in the school. The Bible says, call no one your father on earth, because one is your father and he is in heaven. You know, you say that is absolutely clear. The young Slovakian child going to these schools that are 95% like a Roman Catholic, and then the others come in legally to under Catholic teaching because of the Civil Concordat in 2000, and then even made more emphatic in 2004, as Jean has explained. But they are being taught that the Holy Father is in Rome. They call him the Holy Father. And young people are taught about a Holy Father in Rome, and that you are to respect his teaching. The canon law of the Catholic Church says a religious respect of mind and will is to be given to the Holy Father. That means that you are to submit your intellect, that is your mind, your highest faculty, and your will, the highest thing you have to implement your intellect, your desires, what you desire, you have to submit that to the Holy Father. Now that is quite horrific, that you are to submit to a man in Rome who calls himself the Holy Father. He also calls himself the Vicar of Christ. He says he represents Christ on earth. Now, we had, before the Reformation, the famous Vaudois and the Waldenses, and they saw that the text in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, that there would be one who would sit in the temple of God calling himself God. And they saw that the one who sat in the temple of God calling himself God was the man of sin and the son of perdition. And they warned people not to accept the teaching that there's a man on earth who can call himself the Holy Father, that can sit in the temple of God and call himself God. They warned people against that. You know, and it was the same at the time of the Reformation. Why the Reformation succeeded was the power of the gospel and the fact that they saw the fulfillment of prophecy. That Revelation 17, 2 Thessalonians 2 were fulfilled. That the one who would sit in the temple of God calling himself God was a false system. It was the Antichrist, the son of perdition, that was condemned by the scriptures. And so they warned people to come out from her and to be separate and to be true believers and free in Christ. Now that freedom in Slovakia is being taken away from the people, and the young people are being taught to look to the Holy Father, which is horrendous. There's only one Father and he is in heaven. He does not sit in a cathedral in Rome calling himself God or the Vicar of Christ. It is really so horrendous because the Vicar of Christ, the Christ Jesus, said that another would come to take his place, and that is the Holy Spirit. The true Vicar of Christ is the Holy Spirit who represents Christ, who dwells in the believer. But these are the way in which, when we have Roman Catholic law upheld by the state, how horrendous it is that the very teaching that the Bible condemns becomes civil law. Now, can you go on and give us some more examples of articles of the 2004 agreement and just how it affects the ordinary person in Slovakia, Jan, so that we see that we are talking reality at the present day, that we're talking about how the Slovak people are being brought, as it were, into a worse slavery than it was under communism, because communism tried to control and, you know, to some extent did control the people. But this is supposed to be a Republic of Slovakia, but where there is even greater control now because of these concordats, and as the concordat was added to in 2004 in Slovakia. Can you give us more examples and exact words of these agreements?
Yes, Richard. I have one more quotation here to add, and this one is very telling. Let me quote. The state school inspection for the classes in Catholic religion is done by persons authorized by the chief school inspector after his agreement with the proper ruling body of Catholic Church. Now, this one is interesting, I would say, because not only we know from, not only we can say, as we are just now discussing, that Rome is now able to penetrate the educational structures and the educational system to seed in the unbiblical foundation that you so tellingly described, all those doctrines that are nowhere in the Bible, were never revealed by God and are not to be obeyed by man, because our allegiance is to be only to the Word of God. But we can see from this article that there is a measurement framed into the treaty that the classes will be only controlled by the people who are already controlled by the Roman structures. So there is essentially no way for anyone independent of the Roman Church to have any saying into the how the classes are done, what is the content, what is the form, what is the method. And we have it another point here. The Slovak Republic will not require Catholic schools to implement educational programs which do not comply with Catholic education and teaching. So once again we can see that there is a measurement for a full control on the side of the Catholic Church to really decide fully on the Catholic Church, what is taught, how it is taught, when it is taught, by whom it is taught, and also to have only the people that are approved by the Roman Church to teach the religious classes. on whatever school in the society.
Yes, and I would like that we would do a sort of a larger picture of the implications of what is happening in Slovakia. And I live at present in the United States of America, and people are not conscious of the civil power in the United States. Now, it hasn't reached the stage of Slovakia, but the initial stages have been set in place, and it was done under what was supposed to be a conservative president, Ronald Reagan, who was politically conservative, but his political maneuvers when it came to the Vatican were anything but conservative. He went against what had been, what was the law of the nation, that the Vatican Church was not to be civilly recognized. And I think the exact date was 1986, but it was there in the 80s that Ronald Reagan recognized the Vatican as a civil power that was to enter into negotiation with the United States of America. And they officially sent their ambassadors to Rome, to the Vatican, to be received by the Pope as representatives of the United States. And the Vatican sent its legates, its ambassadors to the United States. And so the first pin of the legal agreement was established. And there was one Congress person at the time who stood against what Ronald Reagan was doing, because people were not conscious, Bible believers were not conscious, as had been the Valois about the woman riding the beast, about the civil power and of the Catholic Church and what it tries to do civilly. People had no consciousness of this, and there was one Congress person who stood against it. Now, if indeed the time comes in future, like it was in the year 2000 in Slovakia, that the Catholic Church wants to enter into a concordat with the United States, with the President and the Congress and the Senate, to enter into a concordat with the United States as a civil power calling itself the Holy See, I just wonder how many people would raise their eyebrows or would be horrified. Because people are not conscious of these things. And I think that the lesson of what has happened and is still happening in Slovakia has implications in the United States and in other nations. The zenith.org is the Catholic webpage that again and again tells you of the many countries that are signing concordats with Rome. They will boast about how many a year are signing concordats. And very few believers are even conscious of this control that the Catholic Church has. And I think that we are failing because of a lack of biblical understanding of analyzing the Roman Church. We're failing to see that the woman does ride the beast, and that a system that calls itself the one Church and the one that people must submit themselves to is demanding recognition in civil law. And it is really serious, and we must study these things, because it has devastating effects, as Jean and Ivan have been speaking about. So I just wanted to make a broader application, and to know that this can have effects on society as these legal agreements are put into operation. And we must be conscious of history. Another presentation that I have done is the history of the early church, where I really show how biblically the early church understood not only the gospel but prophecy. And I think it is quite important. Another DVD that I've made is called The Biblical Uncovering of the Pope and the Papacy, where again I show the civil power of Rome as fulfilling Revelation 17 and 18, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So I refer people to these DVDs that I've made to give a fuller account of just how devastating is the civil control that the Catholic Church attempts to have in a nation, and that is now implementing in Slovakia. Can you go on and give us some more examples, Jean, of what has happened and what may be likely even to happen further in Slovakia?
Well, that's something really to ponder about. Let me share one example also from the outreach and from the mission to the people and kids of Slovakia. On my housing estate where we are living, we were having a meeting for the kids every Tuesday for some 3 years, and our constant experience was that again and again when we were teaching the biblical truths about Lord Jesus Christ, His incarnation, His perfect life, His atoning sacrifice, the need for faith to receive the justification and faith alone, we again and again were meeting the kids who were always asking us, but what about the Mary? But don't we have also to pray to the Mary? Don't we have to have some merits? How do you mean that it's by faith alone? So we could immediately see that those are the kids going through this educational system, steeped into the Roman thoughts on every possible occasion. And whenever we want to do, whenever we are witnessing to the people and talking to the people, we often again and again see the same situation, that people are thinking in the Roman terms about God, about salvation. So this is what we can see presently. Now, for the future, before I touch on the future, I would like to mention one period from the Slovak history during the Second World War. Now, we had a concordant once in the past in Slovak Republic. This is actually the second one historically, but the first one was valid during the time shortly before the Second World War up until the end of the Second World War, and then later before the communism was able to establish the power in Slovakia. And actually, in truth, this is clearly beyond a doubt, and this is agreed upon by secular historians. I have a book with me which I would mention, a book by a Slovak historian and called History of Slovakia. It's a recent book, a secular historian, and he is calling the period the most, the saddest one in the modern history because of all the evils that took place. Now, back in that time, with Slovakia, when the former first Czechoslovak Republic was split and Slovakia got some kind of autonomous position, we had a Roman priest, Roman Tiso, first as a leader of the large party, Hlinka Slovak People's Party, which was mainly consisting of Catholic persons and Catholic activists. He was later became a prime minister of Slovakia and later a president. So we had a very sweet period, not that long ago, when the Roman Church was exerting a very huge power over the Slovak territories. Concordat was in place, and it was the time, sadly, of an active cooperation with the Hitler's regime in Germany, a time of a military conflict with Poland, when Slovak armies took place alongside the German armies in attacking Poland and seizing some territories. It was the time when Jews were strongly persecuted, and there was much violence done and much damage done against them. It was a time when it was essentially a totalitarian regime, when people like priests were in the parliament, were in the government, and we had a president who was at the same time a Roman Catholic priest. So that's a very sad period, and my sincere hope is that that it would never again repeat itself. Now, what might possibly lay ahead in the future is hard to predict, but it might be that we will see that Rome will try to penetrate some further structures in the society where many decisions in the government are being made, especially maybe if it when it would touch on the believers not conforming with the prevalent ecumenical movement. And that is something that I really am thinking about all those us believers in the Bible alone who are not going with the ecumenical stream, that possibly there might be some measures taken somewhere in the future against those who just want to go with the biblical faith, and like it was many times in the past when Roman Church was in the power.
Yeah, and it comes as a real shock to us when we see how the Catholic Church laws affect the closest things we have in life. The Catholic Church is very insistent on its laws about marriage. What makes a valid marriage? What is the form of a marriage that it must take place before a priest and two witnesses, and or a deacon or a minister that the Catholic Church recognizes? It must be the form of marriage. What is consent? The marriage itself in Roman Catholic law, how the children are to be brought up and educated from in the home, and how such a marriage is to exist and how it may be annulled or broken in Roman Catholic teaching. Now this is a control over the most intimate part of a man's life, a man and a woman united in marriage. And the Catholic Church claims control over marriage in its laws about marriage. Now, that is quite difficult for a Catholic to live, and a Catholic lives under guilt because they're not following Catholic law on marriage. We follow biblical law. What Christ Jesus said was instituted at the very beginning of creation, where God established marriage. It's not under any church. It is an ordinance of God for all human beings. It doesn't come under any church. It is something that God set up from creation. And it is not controlled by a system. It is a institution that comes in under human rights that a person has in the state that the nation where they live, and it has nothing to do with the Catholic Church, but they claim control. And so this is where the Vatican law, as it becomes part of civil law, can really touch people in their very lives, in their marriages, and what the Catholic Church recognizes. Now we just have about 7 minutes left, and we want to say something about the message that Paul proclaimed. The Apostle Paul proclaimed in Romans 3 that we have fallen short of the glory of God. He was proclaiming that all people are spiritually dead. And he went on in chapter 3, verse 24, said, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption in Christ Jesus. The state of humankind is to be fallen from the glory of God, to be dead in sin, to have personal sin, and to not know the righteousness of God. But God has in Christ Jesus given us the redemption. That is a perfect life lived in conformity to God's law by Jesus Christ, and a perfect sacrifice to pay the price of sin. And that is to be the answer to the Vatican attempt to control a nation through civil power. It is to give the gospel to Slovaks and to get it out in Slovakian, in English, to those who understand English in Slovakia, and to get it out across the world. It is the power of God. And this is what came in at the time of the Reformation, where darkness covered the earth and gross darkness the people. God caused the light to shine, and that's the light that we want to see again shine in Slovakia. So I'd like, Jan, if you could give your heartfelt appreciation of the gospel and how this gospel is to be brought into Slovakia, to cut aside all the manipulations, illegally or otherwise, of Rome or any false ecumenical system, and to bring the power of God into the lives of the people.
Yes, yes, indeed, the gospel is glorious, and it is truly the only instrument that the Lord God has chosen to bring the people that are sinners like I am, like I was living in an ungodly life for 18 years, but I was brought to a point when really my eyes were open and I could see that in the gospel everything is provided for my salvation, that really, really there is a Savior, namely Lord Jesus Christ, who came on this earth to die for sinners and to achieve the perfect salvation. And that makes a difference. That's really the heart of the difference between biblical salvation, between the biblical gospel that a soul can rely on and be safe for eternity and know that then I go to the heaven, and the teachings of the Roman Church, because there is no perfect salvation in the Roman Church, and I am seeing it every day as a Slovakian, wherever I move, wherever I go with the people. The Roman Church is teaching that there are some means, like mainly the sacraments, that the faithful is to cooperate with for all of the life, and then just always again and again go to the masses for the new sins to be once again, presumably, reconciled, then to confess the sins to the priest, then to pray the rosaries, then do some good deeds. But after that, after years and years, I can be a year after year a Catholic, but there is still no sure promise, there is still no sure foundation that I will ever be saved. There is no such thing in the Roman Church because there is no gospel, and that's the difference. The gospel speaks about the finished work of Christ, whereby a sinner comes and receives a gift of salvation. And my call to you, the fellow Slovakians who are in the Roman Church, who were grown inside of it, who think that that's something that is part of our culture, that's us Slovakians, my call is look into what the Bible is really teaching, like Romans 3 that was already quoted. We are justified freely, not by some humanly devised instruments, not by some sacraments, not by some church, but we are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And that is my call, that is my message. I had experienced it in the 1994. Many thousands other Slovaks, Ivan is the one who experienced this free justification, this free gift, and not the human works like the Roman Church is teaching. And I call you to consider those things and look into the Bible and see what really is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Ivan, can you in a minute or 2 minutes just give us your summary of what it is to believe on Christ and to know everlasting life?
Yeah. Since the fall of the Adam, since the moment where Eve and Adam were hiding before of the face of God because their fear of His anger, and they used the fig leaves. All us, all humans, we are using the fig leaves that we are thinking that they can hide us before the face of merciful and holy God. We are using fig leaves in our religion persuasions, we are using fig leaves about our morals, but what needs to be said and what the Bible clearly says that there no exists such a fig leaf tree that can hide us from the God. Only way that we can be bold to stand in the face of God is to believe in the gospel that He died according to the scriptures and He was resurrected according to the scriptures, that any believers in Him can be saved forever. This is only one hope for you and for me, that we can stay in the boldness, in the face of the God, in the face of any civil regime that would like to kill us, and this is hope for you as well.
Yes, that is the final word, that we do not have fig leaves or any human type of institution to cover us. the only covering is the everlasting righteousness of Jesus Christ. We have a web page. Jean has his own web page, and Ivan will be giving his words on a web page and his writings. And I have a Slovakian part to our web page, briambeacon.org, where you can check out Slovakian materials. And we just know that God is magnified in the gospel and that souls are saved. And we know that this message that goes out is the power of God and that He will be glorified in the salvation of many. And we give Him the praise, the glory, and the worship. And we just want to express our thanks to you for viewing this show. And we pray that we would hear from you as the Lord touches your own heart and as you get the gospel out yourself, and may God be glorified. It is the wonder of God's grace. To Him alone be the glory. To Him alone be the power, the majesty, Christ Jesus the Lord. And so we agree together on this, Jean and Ivan, and may God be glorified and may many souls be saved to the praise of the glory of His grace. Amen and amen.
This Reformation audio track is a production of Stillwater's Revival Books. SWRB makes thousands of classic Reformation resources available, free and for sale, in audio, video, and printed formats. Our many free resources, as well as our complete mail order catalog, containing thousands of classic and contemporary Puritan and Reform books, tapes, and videos at great discounts, is on the web at www.swrb.com. We can also be reached by email at swrb@swrb.com, by phone at 780-450-3730, by fax at 780-468-1096, or by mail at 4710-37A Avenue, Edmonton, that's Edmonton, Alberta, abbreviated capital A, capital B, Canada, T6L3T5. You may also request a free printed catalog. And remember that John Calvin, in defending the Reformation's regulative principle of worship, or what is sometimes called the scriptural law of worship, commenting on the words of God, "which I commanded them not, neither came into my heart," from his commentary on Jeremiah 7:31, writes, "God here cuts off from men every occasion for making evasions, since he condemns by this one phrase, 'I have not commanded them,' whatever the Jews devised. There is then no other argument needed to condemn superstitions than that they are not commanded by God. For when men allow themselves to worship God according to their own fancies, and attend not to his commands, they pervert true religion. And if this principle is adopted by the papists, all those fictitious modes of worship in which they absurdly exercise themselves would fall to the ground. It is indeed a horrible thing for the papists to seek to discharge their duties towards God by performing their own superstitions. There is an immense number of them, as it is well known, and as it manifestly appears. Were they to admit this principle, that we cannot rightly worship God except by obeying His word, they would be delivered from their deep abyss of error. The prophet's words, then, are very important, when he says that God had commanded no such thing, and that it never came to his mind. As though he had said that men assume too much wisdom when they devise what he never required, nay, what he never knew."